this bout that Jill and I have had, COVID had nothing on that. It was a shocker. It's really interesting how things come together. Our first hymn this morning, thank you for that, Yvonne, it was perfect. Spoke of judgment and mercy, and then Ezekiel again speaks of judgment and a little flock, sheep who need saving. And even in the last reading, there are mentions of reconciliation and judgment. And interestingly enough, Mark in his opening prayer mentioned a word that I'm going to use a fair bit. He used the word fear twice. I thought, that's really interesting. We don't often hear that in addresses and in our prayers and whatever. There's more on that, but you'll have to wait to the end of the exhortation to find out what that's about. I've had a saying told to me that I found really interesting. It was a great number of years ago now, and it was, I was asked, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And that really struck deep inside of me. So this has been hanging around in my head for some time, and when I was thinking of an exhortation for this morning, I decided to sort of focus on those things that are most important to us, the emblems and the memorial reason that we're here today. So the context is in examining ourselves and based on the memorials. And we often hear before the memorials are taken, the words from 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Occasionally we hear a little bit from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Now I struggle with self-examination. I don't like what I see most of the time, and I can feel totally unworthy to partake of the emblems at times. So you might well ask, why do we share in the bread and wine when I feel this way? It's because I found something by doing this exhortation and pondering on it that made me view this examination of myself in a slightly different light. But more of that also later on. Let's go back to the trial scenario. If I was on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict me? We have the perfect example in our Lord Jesus Christ in the account in Luke 23, verse 14. Where Herod said unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverts the people. And behold, I have examined him before you. I have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. And the word examine here is in a very legal sense. It's to investigate, to interrogate. It has that meaning of forceful interrogation behind it. Thayer's definition includes the words to judge, to examine, to investigate, to determine the excellence or defects of any person or thing. Now when I examine myself before I partake of the memorials, that's how I tend to examine myself. I judge myself in a legalistic way and finding myself totally unworthy at times. I think I do this because I tend to see that sort of examination or judging is going on all around us in the world. We're sort of conditioned to behave in a way that the world expects us to, and we take on board some of those things that maybe we shouldn't. I know the world certainly examined us as a Christian in a very, very intense way. So we are commanded to follow our Lord Jesus Christ even to the cross, which is where he went after his trial. And indeed, many have done just that. Our Lord's journey to the cross was via a pretty savage trial by Herod, with the ferocity of the accusations against him by the Jews overpowering even Herod's desire to release him. So how do I feel about going through a trial like that, knowing that the outcome is going to be death by a particularly cruel man? Fear. Now, I would hope not if or when the time should come for me, but right now, I couldn't say with 100% certainty that I wouldn't be afraid. And that's one factor that I count against me in my own self-examination. And it's a pretty big one for me. I'm somewhat tormented by the thought, and thereby know the love of my God is not yet perfect. I speak of fear because that seems to be the way that the world works today. Fear of a perceived enemy justifies spending billions on defence. Fear is used to control populations rising up against unjust and oppressive rulership. Even New Zealand's political parties are feeding us fear, their message being what we stand to lose as a nation if the other party gets in. That sort of thing. Then we have the fear of not keeping up with the Joneses. The fear of losing maybe what we have. Family, homes, employment, etc. I become trapped in this cycle of fear because of my lack of love and trust in God. And that is because I don't examine myself honestly. I think I'm all right when I'm really not. 1 John 4 says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Pretty much what I feel. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That sort of self-examination is pretty heavy, and it can be really discouraging. But God gives us a way of self-examination that is kinder on us. We've read it before, but I'll say it again. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. This word examine here is a different word. It's taken from excuse me, the word paratsi, and Strong's defines it as to test objectively. To test a person's endeavours, their works, to scrutinise, to try a thing, or to attempt, or to try to endeavour to do it. Slightly different meaning to the word examine, to the very legalistic way that I've been trying to examine myself so far. Thayer's definition also includes the words to try or test one's faith, your virtue, or your character. And it can be tested by enticement to sin, to tempt, or to put under trial. Interestingly, the definition of this word examine here is mostly about a person's endeavours, the things they have done, their works. In our case, those works whereby we show our faith, and we do the examining to see if we meet God's standards. Now, I know from experience that my tests and trials and temptations have been from God and been used to refine me. When I said kinder earlier, I didn't mean that there isn't pain involved, just not as much as a full-on facing death type of trial. We still pass through the refiner's forge and it still hurts. But it is with the knowledge that having passed through, I am somewhat purified. Job is the classic example of someone being refined in such a way. We read in Job 1:1 that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. But he still had to pass through the refining process. He could claim righteousness, as noted in the account, but he was still tested in one area, at least in this account. He feared, and it wasn't just God. For we read in Job 3, verse 25, when he was told of all those things that had come on him, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Fear was Job's weakness, and it was tested to a level I hope and pray we never have to experience. The lesson for us in Job's trial is that God is going to test us in our weaknesses. Do we fear for our family like Job did? God will test us for sure, to bring us to a realization that he is in control of all things, and that we can trust him not to try us beyond what we can bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There is no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Like Job, we will have different trials depending on where our faith is weakest. Be it in material things, when we put our desire into achieving a material goal. Ours, Jill and my, for goal was farm ownership, and God, till God showed us by a number of catastrophes, we were a slow learner, that it wasn't where he wanted us. The end result being that we've learned to trust God implicitly in that area and to be content with what we have. He will provide what we need and sometimes what we want if it coincides with his will. Job lost his sons and daughters. We didn't, by God, only by God's grace and intervention on more than one occasion. He was afflicted physically, and so have most of us to some extent, but not to Job's extent. Although I do know what it's like to want to scrape areas of my flesh to relieve the itching. The result of all our trials and tests is the knowledge that our God is always there for us, not willing that we should fall away because of our trials, and we won't if our love for him is as it should be. I spoke earlier of examining ourselves, whether we meet God's standards. And incredibly, he has given us the standards to aim for in his Son, our Lord Jesus, and also a way out. That is, a way out of judgment when we fail to meet those standards. God is prepared to examine us in the same way he asks us to examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11:28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." The word "examine" here is a different word again, a third meaning. The word is dokimazoi, I think, and it means to test, literally or figuratively, and by implication, to approve. Thayer's definition also includes the words to recognize as genuine after examination, to approve, to deem worthy. Now, I'm beginning to have hope. He, through our examination of ourselves, can determine the genuineness of our faith and love. And despite our failing tests and trials, sometimes on a daily basis, God knows the genuineness of our hearts. And because of that, or maybe despite of that, he has provided the supreme sacrifice of his Son for our deliverance from our sins and shortcomings. Like the lessons learnt from the trials in this life, and the realization that God has brought us through them, and that we can absolutely trust in his love for us, so too we can trust in him to keep us into the kingdom with Jesus as our King. I can partake of the emblems today, not because I'm worthy, because I'm not, but because my God knows my heart is genuine. That I can acknowledge my sins and shortcomings, and that my love and trust in him and Jesus my Christ is real. To address the fear, he's also given us a word in Luke 12, verse 32. And these words we know so well. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.